Today's daf in Maseches Bava Basra will be Kuf Ayin Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Our Sugya opens up in the middle of a question. In order to appreciate the question, it's necessary just to recap that which was learned on the previous Omid. We saw Rav Huna Omar Rav on Kuf Ayin Omid Beis suggesting that the halacha will follow neither Rav Yehuda nor Rav Yossi in the case of a document that was paid up, a document of loan that was partially paid up. In other words, the borrower paid part of his loan. What is the procedure with regard to the original loan document? So Rav Huna Omar Rav on the previous Omid said, Beis Din tears up the original document and writes a new shtar with the original date of the original loan in this new shtar. In the course of the discussion, Rav Huna Omar Rav, Rav Huna said that even though there's a Tanaic source that says that you don't need to have a Beis Din that tears up the shtar and prepares a new one, it's sufficient if you have two witnesses that do that. Rav Huna says that even if Rav had heard such a Tanaic source, he would not have accepted it, but stick by his position that it's necessary to have a court, a Beis Din of three judges, do this procedure. Rav Huna explained that only a Beis Din can do it because they have the strength to mafkia mamon, to redirect ownership of money, of property. However, witnesses, once they finish their shlichus, once the witnesses prepared the original shtar, that's it. They cannot go ahead and prepare a new shtar. On this, the Gemara opens up Kuf Ayin Aleph, Omid Aleph in Bava Basra, the third line from the top, the second word on the line. The Gemara asks the lo, is that so that Edim cannot continue their original shlichus? In other words, once they finish their original mission, they cannot continue acting within the same sphere. V'ho Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Edim Kisvin Afilu Asora Shtoros Al Soda Achas. If someone had a title to a particular land and the document was lost, they lost their original document, and he instructed witnesses, please prepare for me a new document, they can do that. And they can in fact do this numerous times. We've emphasized the word Edim over here with a dashed underline because this is the central point of our discussion. Here we have Rav saying that Edim can prepare a new shtar on the same field. Notice with the markings, if you have in front of you a Kuf Ayin Omid Beis as well, if you have it on the screen, it's possible to access it, and as we recommend, one should order their own volume of the Shas Ozer marked Gemara edition. One glances back at the previous Omid and sees that Rav was in a diamond with a number 1 in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Over here we have the same marking around Rav, a diamond with a number 2 in the right-hand space, the right-hand space between the Gemara text and the Rashbam. The marking served to connect the two points. In other words, statements of Rav. So, whereas Rav Huna on the previous Amud presented Rav as saying that Edim do not have the power to rewrite a new shtar once they completed their original agency. Here, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that they can write new shtaros. In order to resolve this, we have two approaches. Rav Yosef Omar, he answers. He says that which Rav says, even 10 times a new shtar can be prepared, that's bishtar matona. That's where it wasn't a case of a sale with a guarantee in it for the benefit of the purchaser. Rather, it's dealing with a case of a piece of property given to a receiver as a gift. So the document indicating the transfer as a gift doesn't ordinarily contain in it a guarantee. Hence, there's no potential loss if the receiver of this matana would even have a couple of shtaros in his possession, even if he didn't actually lose it, no churban would come about. There would be no miscarriage of justice in the future. However, in the case of a document of sale with a guarantee in it, if a purchaser has two documents, or certainly even more, indicating that he bought the property with a guarantee in it, as we've seen in previous sugyas, that could be grounds for foul play. In other words, he could make collections from subsequent purchasers again and again, each time pulling out another one of these shtoros. V'Rabo Omar, Rabo's approach to resolving the two versions of Rav is Bishtar Shein Bo Achrayas. Even if you are talking about a document of sale, the replacement document can be prepared even by witnesses, provided that the replacement document has no guarantee written in it. Hence, it wouldn't serve as a basis for any future miscarriage of justice. We now come across a piece of Gemara that, if you're starting this Amud for the first time and not holding in the previous Amud, it'd be very hard to understand the question, my Brisa. However, with the wonderful marking system that is available to us, we notice in the left-hand space, immediately to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, a little arrow with a Kuf Ayin Omid Beis notation. That means that one should glance back at Kuf Ayin Omid Beis, the same side of the Gemara text, namely the left-hand side of the Gemara text, in that space between the Gemara and the commentary that appears to the left-hand side of the text. You'll notice, 3 lines from the bottom, a parallel arrow. The Gemara at that point had said if Rav would have heard a certain brisa, he would have changed his mind regarding the power of Edim in preparing a new shtar. The Gemara made a reference over there to a brisa. In fact, the Gemara quoted a part of the brisa over there. However, the Gemara is asking over here, what is the brisa in its entirety that was referred to on the previous Omid? So the Gemara asks, my brisa, Bisanya. The Tanaic source appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources in our marking system, as I'm sure you've become familiar through the introductory comments on the marking system. The source begins here, and you can see it lasts over 6 lines. Hare shehoyu noshin boy elef zuz. There was a person who owed 1,000 zuz. Noshin boy, they were trying to collect from him 1,000 zuz. Upora mehem chamesh meo zuz. And he paid 500 of them, namely paid up half of his debt. Edim mekarenes ashtar, v'kosvin lo shtar achir mizman rishon. Witnesses will tear up the original document and prepare a new document with half the sum in it, with the original date, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The reason for the dash underlining of Mizman Rishon will become apparent later. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Shtar Ze Yehe Munach B'mkoymoi. We don't tamper with the original shtar, it stays in its place. V'yichtevu Shovar. The witnesses will prepare a receipt on behalf of the borrower, indicating that he paid up half. U'mipnei Shnei Dvorim Omru Kosvin Shovar. For 2 reasons, we take this approach of leaving the original document intact and provide the love, the borrower, with a receipt for as a defense mechanism against future claims of the entire sum. So what are the two reasons? One, achas kidei shiyachuf leforo. One is that by keeping the original document intact, this will put pressure on the lover, on the borrower, to pay up, because he is afraid that he might lose his receipt, and the lender will take out his original shtar and collect the entire amount. Number two, v'achas kidei shiyigve mizman rishon. And the second reason for keeping the original shtar intact is that that will enable the lender to collect based on the original date in the document, which basically says that the lender will be able to seize upon any properties that he may have sold to others after the date of that original loan. The lender will be able to seize properties that the borrower may have sold after the date of the original loan. In other words, he has a lien on all of the lender's, on all of the borrower's properties from that date onwards. The Gemara asks, as far as this source is concerned, Rabbi Yossi says, as his second reason for keeping the original shtar intact, is to enable collections from the original, based on the original date. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Rabbi Yehuda nami mizman rishon ka'amar," and now you can see the value of the dashed underlines that we made in the source, and we've also supplied arrows in the right-hand space of the Gemara, namely to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Those arrows help you to find the relationship or the lineup between the two comments. They both say that collection will be made from the original, based on the original date. So what's Rabbi Yossi adding as a second reason for writing a shofar when Rabbi Yehuda agrees with this, with that point? The Gemara answers and clarifies, Hochi kamale Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Thusly, Rabbi Yossi was saying to Rabbi Yehuda, E mizman rishon ka'amris, if you are saying that collection will be made based on the original date, paligno aloch b'chada, then I disagree with you on only one point, namely the issue of writing a receipt in order to put pressure on the borrower to pay up. E mizman sheni ka'amris, if however you say that when they write up that new shtar for half the sum, that you will put on, put in it a new date, namely from the date of the writing of the second shtar, which is later than the original loan date, then paligno aloch betarti, then I have an issue with you on two points, not only the issue of writing the shofar, but also regarding the date that's recorded in the document. We've provided a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that the following piece of Gemara is not connected to this particular piece of Gemara. In other words, we can view it as a new sugya, a new section. However, in terms of the general structure, there does appear to be a connection between the two Gemaras, even though as far as ideas are concerned, there does not appear to be a tight connection. The structure being that in the sugya we just learned, we had a Tanaic source, and immediately following the Tanaic source, we have a presentation of Rabbi Yehuda as having seemingly said the same thing that Rabbi Yossi said. This, too, in our new sugya, we're going to open up with a Tanaic source, once again with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in it, and immediately after the source, the Gemara will be asking a similar question, that what is Rabbi Yossi saying that Rabbi Yehuda didn't say, where Rabbi Yehuda seemed to say the same thing. Let's see this in detail. Tanu Rabbanan, Shtar Shezmanoi Kosuv B'Shabbos Oy B'Asura B'Tishrei. A document of financial matters, could be a document of a loan, that had as a date written in it, Shabbos, or Asara B'Tishrei is Yom Kippur. as if the shtar was written on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, which is not a possibility. So how do you explain a date like that in the shtar? Shtar mu'uchar hu v'kosher divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We can understand from this particular unusual date written in the shtar that it was a post-dated shtar. In other words, the loan, if that be the example, took place before Shabbos or before Yom Kippur. One might ask, how in the world are they dating a shtar writing in that it was written on Shabbos or written on Yom Kippur? The answer to that is provided by the Rashbam, that we're talking about a region, an area that they use a secular calendar, namely a calendar that's not based on the common lunar months that we refer to, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, etc., but rather, as is common in many countries today, writing in the date using secular months, January, February, March, April, etc. So the date that was written in the shtar was a secular type date, but then when you look at a calendar or make a calculation, it turns out that the secular date that was recorded happened to be Yom Kippur. So we can imagine a document prepared a few days before Yom Kippur, and they post-dated it, not realizing that the date that they're actually writing in, this post-date, falls out on Yom Kippur. That being the case, Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no problem with such a shtar. It's been post-dated, and it's okay. Rabbi Yossi posel. Rabbi Yossi says that this kind of shtar is not acceptable. Omar lo, Rabbi Yehuda, v'halo ma'isa b'alo fanecho b'tzipori. Rabbi Yehuda addresses Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was the Rav in the town Tzipori. And Rabbi Yehuda says to him, is it not so that an incident came in front of you in Tzipori, v'chsharta, and you allowed such a document? You allowed a document whose date, when they calculated it, turned out to be on Yom Kippur. Omar lo, kishehichsharti, bozehichsharti. When I allowed a post-dated document, it was a situation where the date turned out to be a Shabbos or Yom Kippur. That's the end of the source. As you can see, the frame is closed here, but a very strange answer. V'ho Rabbi Yehuda nami bozeh komar. Rabbi Yehuda also, when saying that a shtar mucher was kosher, was talking about the very same case. So what's Rabbi Yossi's response to Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara goes on to explain under what circumstances, in fact, is there agreement between these Tanoim, and under what circumstances is there a machlokas. It's clear there's a machlokas because they appear in the same source representing what is supposed to be two different opinions on the same matter. So we will have to go on in the Gemara to discover what's the point of difference. Before we go further, let's take advantage of one of the features of our marked editions, and that is the topic headings and, at times, structural notes that are provided in the outside margin. In this case, we have the second Nosei heading that appears on the outside margin. Nosei, the topic, Shtar Me'uchar, a post-dated document. Number one, Matzav, a situation, Shemuchach Mitzoychai Shemuchar, that it's self-evident by just looking at the date, it's self-evident that it is post-dated. Kagon, Shizmano Yotze B'Shabbos Yom Kippur. Example, a shtar whose date turns out to be a Shabbos Yom Kippur, it's obvious to us that it was not written on those days, so the only reasonable explanation we can give for it is that it was post-dated. In other words, the loan took place before those particular dates, and the Malve agreed, the lender agreed to have it written with a later date in it. Number two, Mu'uchar Rogil, a standard post-dated document, Shalom Mu'uchach Mitoichai She'oya Mu'uchar, that by looking at the date, it's not self-evident that it was post-dated. In other words, even when you calculate the date, it comes out to be a day in the middle of the week. So, who is to say that it was post-dated? Let us go on in the Gemara. Omar Rebbe Pedos. Hakol Moidim, namely Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi will agree, Shem huzkaknu le'oynosoi shel shtar, that if we took careful note, we needed to note the date of the shtar, v'nimtseis oynosoi michuvenes b'shabbos oy b'asorah b'tishrei, and after making the calculations, namely converting the secular date into a Hebrew date, and it turned out that the date that was written in the shtar was a Shabbos or Yom Kippur. Asorah B'Tishrei, 10th of Tishrei, is the date of Yom Kippur, which is a situation where it's evident from within, it's self-evident that it's a delayed document. Shishtar Mu'ucharhu V'Kosher. This is a post-dated document, and under these circumstances, it's kosher, it's all right. Lo nechleku, notice with our markings, what we've done is we've emphasized with a dashed line and called it aleph, the hakol moedim, the point at which everyone agrees, the aleph point. And now the base point is the point of disagreement. Lo nechleku elo, b'shtar me'uchor ba'almo. Their controversy between Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi deals with a standard post-dated document. When we say standard, meaning a case where the normal situation where by calculating the date you're not going to come upon any unusual date, comes out to be a day in the middle of the week. Reb Yehuda, who says that such a document is acceptable, he is consistent with what he says elsewhere. In fact, we saw this in the previous sukya, the Omar Ein Koisvin Shovar. Shitas Reb Yehuda, that was featured on the previous Daf Gemara, he holds that we do not write a receipt. The lo nofik minei churba, and no catastrophe can result by having a post-dated document around. The Gemara itself will explain what the nature of this potential catastrophe is, and we'll wait till the Gemara offers its full explanation. However, in superficial terms, we can suggest that, as far as Reb Yehuda is concerned, since we do not write receipts, borrowers are not going to pay up their loans unless they're handed the original loan document and they have an opportunity to tear it up. That will be their security that they will not. There won't be any attempt to collect from them again. Hence, Reb Yehuda by holding Ein Koisvin Shovar, even if you write a later date than that on which the actual loan took place, no harm can come to the borrower. As we just said, he isn't going to pay up any of his loan unless he gets the original document in his hands and tears it up. Let's continue in the Gemara. Reb Yossi Litamei, Reb Yossi, who does not allow a shtar le'uchar to be prepared, a post-dated document, he is consistent with his reasoning, with his opinion elsewhere, the Omar, that he said, Koisvin Shovar, that we do prepare receipts for the benefit of the borrower when he pays up his loan. And being that we prepare receipts, we are saying, in other words, that we do not insist on the original document being torn up. V'nofik minei churba. And as a result of allowing a post-dated original document to be prepared, a catastrophe could result. We've noted between the lines that the Gemara will explain later on what this catastrophe is. But we can say in general terms that the catastrophe has to do with a situation where the love, where the borrower comes upon cash to pay up his loan. So he pays up his loan on a loan that was originally recorded in a post-dated fashion. At the point that he pays up his loan, he gets a receipt, the receipt stating the date on which he paid up his loan. As a result of accepting this approach of writing receipts, we do not tear up original documents. What is to stop the lender from pulling out the original document when the date that's written in the loan document, which in fact was a post-dated document, but when that date actually arrives, what is to stop the lender from pulling out the document and saying to the borrower, you owe me money. It says so in this document that you owe me money. And if the borrower pulls out his receipt, the lender will say, that's true, you paid up a different loan, an earlier loan, and what's in this document that I'm pulling out is a later loan that you took out. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a bracketed section. The length of the bracketed section is indicated by a vertical dash dotted line that appears in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam. In this case, we're talking about the space to the immediate right left-hand side of the Gemara text. All of these lines, as you can see, are contained within brackets. In our marked editions, we attempt to explain the role of the brackets by comments found generally on the inside margin. Here we have an asterisk, and it says, Matras ha-sograyim, the purpose of these brackets, ba-gemara, in that we've included in the Gemara text, he, v'chaber be'ma shehuzker kan, nofik minei churba, to connect that which is stated here, this idea that a catastrophe could result, v'ha-hezber shel ha-dobor ha-shemoyfia acharei ha-sograyim, and to, as we said, to connect this expression of Nofik Mechurba with the explanation of that section which follows the brackets. In other words, we're going to see this issue of a catastrophe arising from allowing post-dated documents, that this issue is associated with the section of the Gemara that appears after the brackets. The note continues, Besoch HaSograyim, within the bracketed section, HaGemara Moichicha, the practice of writing a receipt is not only in the case of a partial payment that's made on a loan, but even when full payment is made. The Rashbam in the Dibur HaMaschil, Omer Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, we've included here, notes, Dezu Milsa Be'ape Nafshe, that this section that we refer to as the section within the brackets is an independent section of Gemara. It could stand on its own, and hence we've decided to use the bracket marking to indicate that. With all that having been said, at times we skip the bracketed section in our shiurim using the marking system, but in this case what we're going to do is we'll read the Gemara straight, realizing, though, that when we get to the end of the bracketed section, that which follows has to do with the issue of shtar me'uchar and the potential catastrophe that could result, and how certain opinions deal with that. So we now proceed with the Gemara in the bracketed section. Omar Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua. Afilu l'mandu Omar Kosvin Shovar. He opens up by suggesting that even according to the Mand Omar, in this case we know it's Reb Yehuda that says we do write a receipt. Let us correct ourselves. According to Reb Yossi that says you do write a receipt, Hani Mili, under what circumstances are receipts written and presented to the one who owes the money? Palga, that's when you're dealing with a partial payment. Hence, as we saw before, if someone owed 1,000, paid up 500, he gets a receipt to that effect that he paid up 500. Aval akule lo. However, when the entire amount is paid up, we don't write a receipt. One would assume that if they're not writing a receipt, that when full payment is made, that the original document is to be torn up. However, the Gemara goes on, Velohi. This supposition that Rav Huna, Vrei Rav Yeshua made, is not accepted, is not so. Ela afilu akulei kasvinan. But rather, even when the full debt is paid up, we're not insisting upon the tearing up of the original document, but rather, we provide the borrower who just paid up the full amount with a receipt, with a shovar, as his means of protection. Kihod Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, as the incident illustrates, involving Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, we noted that this appeared also on Kuf Ayin Omer Aleph. Havim Masik Bei Zuzi Rabbi Abba. He was trying to collect money from Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba owed him money. Also Lekame to Rabbi Chanino Bar Popi. The case came to him. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yitzchok says, Hav Li Zuzai. Pay me my money, the money that you owe me. Omar Lei, Rabbi Abba said, Hav Li Shtaroi Ushkol Zuzoch. Give me the original loan document, in which it indicates that I owe you money, and upon your giving me the document, then I'll pay you the money. Omar Le, Rabbi Yitzchok says, Shtarcha Irchis Li, Echtov Loch Tavra. Irchis means lost. Your shtar, I lost. I will, however, provide you with a tavra, with a shover, with a receipt. Omar Le, Rabbi Abba says, Ha Rav Ushmuel, the Amitravayu, Ein Koisvin Shovar. Rabbi Abba says that, well, the great Rav and Shmuel both say that we don't practice that. In other words, unless you give me my original document, I have no obligation to pay you the debt. Omar, Rabbi Yitzchok responded and said, Man yohiv lon me'afre de Rav Shmuel raminon be'ainen. Who is it? Who would give us the dust of Rav and Shmuel? The Mefarshim explained in other places that this is an expression of love, of adoration, of respect, whereby Rabbi Yitzchok says, in all due respect, I have the greatest admiration for Rav Shmuel, however, I don't follow their opinion, I follow that of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which we will present momentarily. He says, that which we started reading was Man Yoyev, who would only give us the Me'afre, the dust of Rav and Shmuel, Raminon be'ainen, I would put it in my eyes. Ha Rabbi Yochanan v'ha Reish Lakish. However, we have these opinions of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the Amri Chavayo, that both say Kosvin Shovar, that we do write a receipt, and hence I want my payment, and I will give you a receipt for your protection. V'chein ki also Rovin Amar Rav Ila. And Ravin, when he came, also reported that Rav Ilo says the same thing, that we do write receipts. As we go on in this bracketed section, we'll take note of this geometric form, which is explained in the outside margin under the heading Mivne, the structural note. In this case, we have written in parentheses Ma'akav. What we're going to see in the Gemara is that this very same form is going to be flipping around in its positioning, indicating that we're going to be keeping track of a discussion. Ma'akav, to keep track. The volcano form, as we refer to this geometric shape, with the narrow part facing upwards, it indicates mistabra de kosvin shover, we've written, that it's most likely that we do write a receipt. With the narrow part facing downwards, that represents kushya, a question on this. The Gemara continues and says, Umistabra de Kosvin Shovar. It's most likely that we do write a shovar covering in a payment when payment is made in full. De I Sakadaitoch Ein Kosvin Shovar. If you were to imagine a case where the halacha as saying we don't write a receipt, that really means that there will be no payment unless the original document is presented. Then what would be Ovad Shtoro Shelzeh? What would be in the event that the Malva, the lender, loses his shtar? Yoichal Halo V'chodi? Should it be suggested that the borrower can enjoy someone else's money, namely the loan that he received, and not pay it back, and V'chodi means and be joyful? In other words, be happy with this situation of enjoying someone else's money at the other guy's expense? So what must be? It must be. It's most mistaber that we do write receipts so as to facilitate payments of loans under all circumstances, even under those circumstances that the original loan document was lost. Maskif lo abaye. Abaye raises a challenge. The elomai koisman shovar. You want to suggest that we do write receipts? And as a result of that, there will be payment even without the tearing of the original document? Then I want to ask, Ovad Shovros Shelza, imagine a case where the borrower paid up his loan, got a receipt, but lost the receipt, bearing in mind that according to this approach, the original document remains intact. And now the borrower lost his receipt, Yoichal Halo V'chodi, the same expression used as just before, should the lender be able to enjoy the opportunity of collecting again and enjoying someone else's money and getting away with it? Amalei Rava. Rava says, yeah, that doesn't bother me so much. If you have a situation where the lender gets his money back and the borrower is under great pressure to watch that Shovar, the saying is Eved Loive Liish Malve. The one who borrows money from someone else is said to be enslaved to the lender. So as such, if he, the borrower, is subjected to great pressure to protect himself from a second collection, so be it. Hence, as you can see with the geometric forms that we've used, this particular section concludes with the idea that mistaber, like the opening presentation of this geometric form, that mistaber, we do write a shovar, thereby ensuring that the lender gets his money back under all circumstances. As we mentioned earlier, the continuing section of Gemara will be making a reference to post-dated documents, as was the issue dealt with before the bracketed section. Tanan Hossam. The Mishnah says, this Mishnah is coming from Seder Zroyim, from Masechah Shvias. Therefore it says that it's taught there in Masechah Shvias. Shtorei Choiv Hamugdomim Psulim, predated documents are invalid. Vamuchorim Sherim, postdated documents are okay. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Loi Shanu, the teaching that post-dated documents are kosher, elo shtore halva. That's provided we're dealing with documents of loans. Avol shtore mekahu memkar. However, documents indicating purchases took place, afilu mu'uchorim nami psulim. Even post-dated documents are not acceptable. My taima, what's the failing that exists in a post-dated document of sale? The Gemara explains, Zimnin de mazvin le aro b'nisan. There might be a situation where someone sells a piece of land in the month of Nisan. V'kosev le shtora b'tishrei, and post-dates the document, indicating that the sale took place in Tishrei, that Reuven sold land to Shimon in Tishrei. Therefore, Shimon bought the land in Tishrei, according to what we see in the document. We've said on other occasions, just as a background note, that generally speaking, people don't like to sell land. They only sell when they're under pressure to come into cash. So in this case, using that as a background, you can imagine Reuven, who sold the land, must have needed cash very badly, and that's the only reason he parted with his land. Umisrami le zuzi beni beni. And our seller here, Reuven, came upon cash before Tishrei, Vizovin Le Mine, and bought back his property from Shimon before Tishrei. So, as things stand right now, Reuven is the real owner of the land because he bought it back. V'chi Moti Tishrei, when Tishrei rolls around, mapik lei, the buyer, Shimon, pulls out his document that is dated Tishrei, indicating that a purchase was made on his part in Tishrei, the amalei, and Shimon declares, the buyer declares to the seller, Hadar zevinto minach, I bought it back from you again. This, of course, not being true. But with this post-dated sale document, this is the churba, the devastation that can result. Ihachi, if this is your objection to a post-dated document of sale, shtori havo anami, in the case of shtori havo, of loan documents, a similar churba could result. This is also the beginning of a long question. We've indicated the length of the question, four lines of Gemara, by the long question marking that you can see in the space to, immediately to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, a circled kuf with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the question. So, as we said, if the concern was as stated a moment ago in the context of documents of sale, and hence we said post-dated documents of sale are not acceptable because of the churba that could result, the same fear could apply to the case of loan documents. And the question, the essence of the question is, why are you machshir? Why do you say that post-dated loan documents are valid? The Gemara continues, Zimnin de Yosef Benisan, could come about a case where someone borrows money in Nisan, the Kosev le Shtara b'Tishrei, and a loan document is prepared in a post-dated fashion. Namely, it's stated in the document that the loan took place in Tishrei, Umisrami le Zuzi Baini Baini, and the Lova, the borrower, comes upon money, let us say in the month of Tammuz, for example, which is before Tishrei, Upora le, the Omar le Havli Shtaroi, where the borrower pays up in Tammuz, and when he's paying up, he says, hey, give me back the original document so that you don't come and collect from me again. The amalei irchasli, and the lender says, oh, I lost the original document, the kosev le tavra. And he says, listen, I don't have the original document, but I'll be happy to write a receipt. And he writes out a receipt that the loan was paid up in Tammuz. V'chimati zimnei, and when Tishrei comes around, zimnei, when its time comes around, namely the month of Tishrei comes around, mapik lei, the lender, the malva, pulls out that Tishrei dated shnar, the omale, and the malva says, hashtahu diyazus minoi. Oh, this is a new loan that you borrowed from me just now. So, why is it that Rav Hamnuna, who opened up this discussion, says that shtore halva muhar makasher? Couldn't this happen? The Gemara offers a simple answer. Kosovar ein kosvin shovar. Rav Hamnuna, who was machshir post-dated documents of loan, holds that we don't write receipts. As a result of not writing receipts, there's no situation where the malva will be able to pull out a post-dated document with that later date on it and try to collect the second time, because the borrower will not pay up anything unless he gets the original document in his hands and tears it up. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice the use of triangles, it appears. We have them with numbers and also in the Gemara text. Let us glance at the outside margin to understand, to appreciate what's going to take place. The Nosei Mivneh that you see on the outside margin with a triangle featured, Ho'idna, you'll notice that the word Ho'idna, which means nowadays, is consistently triangled, continuing till the top of the next omid as well. What is this? Tekufos Mucharos Yoser, these represent later periods, historically later periods, Shelo Nohagu Krav Hamnuna Bishtore Havo, where they didn't follow what Rav Hamnuna suggested with regard to loan documents. Uvacholzois, even though they're not following Rav Hamnuna's approach, lo hoya chashash churba, there seemed to be no problem, no worry about devastation. The hainu, and this is boser di omar lehu, after they told him, the double underline that you see here in our note corresponds to that which you see in the Gemara text. There is a repeating situation of Rabbonim shenosnu emtzoei migun achirim, where you see later Rabbonon, later rabbis offering alternative defense mechanisms for borrowers. Let's go on in the Gemara. Omar lei Rav Yemar le Rav Kana, the Amri lo Rav Yirmiyami Difti le Rav Kana. There are two versions of who is it that is addressing Rav Kahana. Hence you see the squiggle underline under the Amri lo, which is a marking we use to indicate alternatives. So either way, someone is addressing Rav Kana and says, Veho idno, de kasvinon shtore mu'uchori, we do write post-dated documents, loan documents, the kasvinon tavra, and we do write receipts. Oh, well, how in the world do we do that? Didn't we just describe above that by writing a receipt that opens up the danger of a loan being paid up before the post-dated date arrives? And then when that later date, that post-dated date actually arrives, the lender will pull out the shtar and make a second collection. So the Gemara says, this is true, that we write post-dated loan documents and also rely on receipts. Boser di Omar luhu Rabbi Abba l'safri. This is true after Rabbi Abba instructed his scribes the following. Ki kasvisu shtar mu'uchori, when you prepare post-dated documents, kisvu hachi, include the following text. Shtara dinon, this shtar, the shtar that's in front of you, lo bizmane kasavne, was not written on the date that's indicated in therein. Ela ichrenuhu v'kasvenuhu. Rather, the date that was written in was post-dated. As a result of that, when the malva tries to pull out a shtar mu'uchar, he won't be able to say, oh, this is a new loan that took place now. Because by looking at this document, they see the loan did not take place now. The date here is indicative of a loan that actually took place earlier. Hence, he, the lender, will not be able to make a second collection. With the use of the triangles, we see that we're going to continue in the same spirit as we started a few lines up. Omale Rav Ashi, the Rav Kahana, v'ho idno, delo ko avdinon hachi. Well, but what about nowadays, meaning a later point in time, where we don't do that? Rather, we write post-dated documents without including the clause of the document was written at a date that's not the time of the actual loan. In other words, we don't add that safety clause, and we nevertheless do write receipts, and still we're not worried about a churba, we're not worried about devastation. How is that? So the Gemara answers, Boser di Amar Lei Rav Safra Le Safrei. This is true after Rav Safra instructed his scribes the following, Ki kasviu hani tavri, when you prepare receipts, I yad isu zimno dishtara kisvu, if you know the date of the original loan document, whatever the date that was in the original loan document, write it in the receipt. So that would be certainly a defense mechanism preventing the original fear of a second collection, because whenever the lender would try to pull out a shtar, making a second collection with that post-dated date in it, the borrower will pull out the shovar, indicating that with the receipt, with that date written in the shovar, saying that this particular loan was already paid up. Elo, and if you, the scribes, don't know the date of the original loan, and now you have to write a receipt, kisvu stamo, write the receipt with the same amount of money in it, write the receipt without any date on it. The chol emas denofik lir'ei, that whenever the malva will try to pull out his shtar, he'll try to pull out that old post-dated shtar, the lova, the borrower, will pull out this receipt that is an open-ended receipt, lir A, and will thereby counteract the shtar that's being used against him. The receipt, as we said, being open-ended, would indicate that any loan with that same amount in it has been paid up already. Omerle Ravino le Ravashi, Viamri lo Ravashi le Rav Kahana. Ravino addresses Ravashi. There's another version. You can see we use the same marking, the squiggle underline, under the expression Amri lo, representing another version of who the speakers are. It could be Ravashi says to Rav Kahana, Veho ho idna delo ko avdinon hochi. What about us that we don't do that? Omerle, so he answers, Rabbonan tikuni takini. The Rabbonan offered safety solutions. Namely, the Rabbanan offered this idea of writing a shovar stam, writing a receipt without a date in it. Man de ovid, one who follows that rule or that procedure, then they're in good shape. And by that, they protect themselves. Man de lo ovid, one who doesn't do that, but rather insists on writing a date in the shovar, in the receipt. Ihu hu the apsid anapshe, he is causing his own loss. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.